Who can police the digital space? Who has reasons for doing it? Who should do it? These are questions of law, privacy, technology, and public versus corporate interest. In the aftermath of the hack of Sony's networks last year, we know this. And we have a lot of questions still that remain to be answered. We know that tracing the source of the attack was really hard, that federal security officials were late to intervene. We know that Sony's corporate networks were woefully vulnerable. And in much of this domain, we know there is no law governing who is responsible, who is liable, or what people's rights are online. Nuala O'Connor, President and Chief Executive Officer of the Center for Democracy and Technology, a nonprofit organization focused on advancing a free and open internet, joins me now. Welcome, Nuala.
Thank you, John.
So the Sony attack really showed, I mean, aside from all these entertaining sort of jokes that came out and gossip that was traded back and forth, it really showed that corporations are vulnerable, but that it's not necessarily the case that you can call the cavalry and get anyone to help you. I'm wondering if corporations and private sector interests are going to take matters into their own hands in the early going here.
That is exactly the right understanding of where we are today in the United States, both from kind of a legal but also kind of a corporate experience. For decades now, actually, companies have been looking to the government or to security experts to try to help them harden their boundaries. And that's really what's got to happen is the best prevention, you know, the best, what did they say, the best offense is a good defense. We need strong defensive measures by these companies. And you're absolutely right. It was easy to poke fun at Sony, but it could have been a nuclear company or an energy company or a transportation company with access to the grid of where your trains are going or your airplanes. So while it's fun to, you know, to poke fun at the frivolous nature of some of the revelations here, the risk alert that we should all be taking for companies that are doing business online, and that's no longer just tech companies, that's all companies who are doing business in the world today, is that your cybersecurity, your privacy of your digital assets has to be one of your top five risk areas for attention in 2015.
If companies do upgrade their security and develop new technology that actually radically improves the situation, will the federal government or will governments in general compel these companies to put backdoors into their security protocols that will enable the federal government to get in?
Well, that is the perfect question to ask, because that is the fight we're having in Washington today. We have seen that request from the FBI, from Deputy Director Jim Comey, who I adore, Jim. He's a wonderful person, but he is wrong on this issue. Creating backdoors and creating vulnerabilities and weaknesses in security systems only allows more hacking and more attempts at hacking by the bad guys. You know, legitimate companies and responsible corporate actors in the United States will partner with the government when there are real intrusions and when there are real risks. But allowing a permanent backdoor to any security system is simply just not the right answer for this problem.
And I'm wondering if your suggestion would be that the government use its technological expertise to work in partnership with companies rather than asking for a kind of an easy way in, a sort of lazy way to monitor security using backdoors.
I'm so glad you said that, because I've been using that phrase lazy law enforcement for a while, and I don't mean to be so disrespectful of my friends in law enforcement and national security. They have hard jobs and they're trying to do the right thing, but you're 100% right. This is a public-private partnership. This is an opportunity for the sharing of information, and I mean of expertise, of how to make the system stronger, not about personal information about the customers. So that's the right model. And you do see some folks at Homeland Security and elsewhere starting to work on the idea of information sharing, exchanges, or collaboration between industries that says, here's how we've hardened our security, here's some best practices. But the simple taking of data from the private sector about their customers, or the simple asking for a backdoor, you're absolutely right. That's too much of a shortcut to be comfortable.
Well, the Sony experience was kind of comedic in that it focused on a comedy. It focused on a nation, North Korea, which it's not funny, but it is bizarre in many ways. I'm wondering if this movie that's coming out early this year, Black Hat, which is attempting to scare us about a real potential cybersecurity scandal, is actually more realistic. Is there a lot of scary stuff out there?
There is. I hate to be a fearmonger. I really don't want to be. But there are people who would seek to do us harm in the world. I, as you probably know, used to work at the Department of Homeland Security, and I have an appropriate respect for the folks who do not wish to see the United States and our company succeed in the world. So it is not being overly paranoid to say there are people who simply really want to take security systems down for both private sector as well as public sector institutions. So we are right to harden our institutional arteries, and I mean that in the sense that so many of our companies are engaging in internet commerce in a way that I'm not even sure some of our own corporate executives realize. Old line industrial companies in this country are no longer immune from these kinds of attacks. Mm. Everyone is online. Everyone is sending data about their employees, their customers, their assets. Data in this next century is going to become one of the most important corporate assets that companies have and traffic in and engage in the world. And that provides great benefit to customers. I mean, the idea of I'm wearing my Fitbit right now, the fact that I can, you know how my health stats are and what I'm doing, and that's a heck of a lot of data, first of all, about me, but it's a great opportunity for me to monitor my health and become healthier in 2015 as everyone has their New Year's resolution. That's all terrific, but all that data is up there in the cloud. All that data is being transmitted. Again, that's a frivolous example, but when you start aggregating very significant amounts of data, again, about customers or about highly sensitive information, again, infrastructure of the country, it is vulnerable, and thus it needs to be treated with the kinds of respect and security that's appropriate to the level of sensitivity of the data. That's where I think companies are not focusing their resources. It can be a tiered approach. It can be an approach that says this is highly sensitive both to the customer and to the company. It can't just be the company's needs. It's got to be the customer and their personal data's needs as well.
Nuala O'Connor is President and Chief Executive Officer of the Center for Democracy and Technology, a nonprofit organization focused on advancing a free and open internet. She spoke to us from Berkeley, California. Nuala, thanks so much.
Thank you.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.